I first would like to say thank you to those who prayed for my son and I as we were traveling across the world. For those who don't know, we got a little complication in our travels and we got stuck in Canada for a few extra days. But it was a rejoicing that we were always underneath the watch care of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A wise man once said that the difference between a believer and an unbeliever is that in the face of trouble, the believer has some place to go. And that is to our God in prayer. But unfortunately, I think many of us just go about our daily walk, not recognizing that God is God over our lives. If we look around, we see the world. They're showing us what it looks like to have God removed from their life. A lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety. People not even knowing if they are a boy or a girl. They are gods themselves. We as a Christian should take that as a warning and try to reflect upon God being God over our lives. This morning we are going to what people call the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to reflect upon the address to our Father who is in heaven. And meditate upon that and see how it can be beneficial to come and bring that mindset to each and every day. That we are not a person that is a loner, but we are the child of the living God. Let us read Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. May it reads, there we finish the reading of God's excellent word. Here we have before us Jesus teaching his disciples a simple model how to pray. If you look at it and you analyze it, there are six petitions in it. The first three petitions are praying for God's glorification, His name to be hallowed, His kingdom to come, and His will to be done. And the next three petitions are for our preservation, our daily bread, our sins forgiven, and our not leading in temptation. And so often our prayers run to these types of petitions. We run and we ask God for His working in our lives as we ought. But so often we forget or we skip over the address. We forget to set our minds on things above. And we get so consumed by these things here on earth. So let us take a moment this morning and reflect on that very important phrase, our Father in heaven. First, we are going to view it from the perspective of Him being in heaven. Then we will reflect as being our Father. And then we are going to reflect upon this phrase as Him being our Big Papa. First, Father in heaven. You may be surprised, like I was, when I studied this passage, that the phrase Father in heaven is peculiar to the Gospel of Matthew. There are other places where God is addressed as Father. In the Old Testament, there are a few that are mentioned, like Psalm 68, where He's talked about being the Father to the fatherless. There are some, like in Isaiah 63, where it says, "For You are our Father, though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge us. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from old, and is Your name." Or Malachi, which recognized that we are created by Him. "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us?" So there are small selections of God being addressed as Father in the Old Testament. More of the occurrences is in the Gospels, when Jesus Christ came to this earth. And you look at the Gospel of John, and John uses it so often, calling God the Father or my Father. It's almost nearly 100 times when the Gospel of John uses the term the Father. But it is Matthew that puts this Father in heaven. Luke uses it one time when he says that the Father in heaven sends upon us the Holy Spirit. But in his record of the Lord's Prayer, he just says, "Father, hallowed be Your name." So here we have Matthew using a phrase that many of us have memorized from our youth and have recited over and over again, but he's using it in a very particular way. He says, "Our Father in heaven." It's an exclusive term. There is no other Father that can be addressed in this way. Matthew is doing this because there is a tradition, it seems to be in the Jewish nation, where the Pharisees and the scribes take upon themselves authority and try to set themselves up as rabbi or father. Jesus decries this attitude in Matthew 23, where he says, "And they love the place of honor at the feast, and the best seats in the synagogues, and the greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ." Here we see Matthew is using this phrase, "our Father in heaven," to set himself apart from all the people that try to set up their authority in our lives. There is only one Father in heaven, and that is Yahweh, God. And when we approach Him in prayer, we take that name upon ourselves. We are saying, "You are my Father, and You are high and exalted above all things." As you pray, do you think that the person you're praying to is above everything, above your circumstances, above the sinfulness of this world. I saw in the news that most people in America were more than half, about 56%, don't trust the government. They feel the government is corrupt. But our Father, the God we pray to, is not corrupted by sin. We can trust Him. We can rely that He is a God who is above all things. He is a God who cannot be corrupted. He is a God that's not bound by space. When I was in Scotland, He was there with me. When I was in Canada, He was there with me. When you were here in Wilkinsburg, He is here with you. He is with your grandchildren who are in other states. He is a God over all things, and He's not bound by space. He's not bound by time. We sang that He knows all our days. He knows the day that you were born, but He even knows the day that you'll die. He knows what you have for you next week. And this is the God we pray to, a God who is not bound by this physical world. Do you take advantage of that? Do you pray to this Father who is in heaven? We then look at our Father. The idea that He is in heaven may give us the sense that He is far off, way out there, not able to be approached. Many religions put intermediators between us and the God who's out there because He's inapproachable. The Catholics put saints there. They say you can pray to saints and they will address the Father for you. But we, as Christians, we get to address our Father who is in heaven. That means it's a collective body that we get to approach Him with. We are not loners. We are praying with the fellow sisters and brothers of the body of Christ. When we pray our Father in heaven, we not only pray for our good, our preservation, but we pray for the preservation of His body. So often I hear prayers that are always just focused on my wants and my desires. But do you pray for the collective body? Do you pray for our pastor and his wife who are constantly under temptation and struggles? And he is supposed to keep a name that's above reproach. The devil has him in his sights. We need to uphold him in prayer. We need to uphold each other. As you can see, this world is going way far away from God's word. And we need to uphold the young families of our congregation as they train up their children, as they make decisions on what schools to go to, what friends to allow in, what TV shows to allow. But I would like us, before we leave the term our Father, note who is included in this phrase. This is Jesus Christ who is including Himself in the phrase, our Father in heaven. This is significant because we do not approach the Father except through Jesus Christ. In John, He says that no one can approach the Father except through Me. Do you go to prayer with an unthankful heart that you get to approach the throne of grace? Do you willy-nilly just get on your knees and say, Lord, I want all these things, without thinking of the blood that was shed for us? Our Father, we are praying along with Jesus. We read in Romans 8 where it says that both the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ are before the Father, always interceding on our behalf. we pray with that in mind? Do we treasure the idea that we get to fall at the knees or at the throne of Jesus Christ and pray to our Father? This term, our Father, when we realize that Jesus is with us, should well up a sense of thanksgiving. He spent His blood on that cross. He was spat upon. He was whipped. He was mocked. But then He went up on the cross and He died the death of thieves for us. And with that, the veil in the temple was torn in two, and we have access to the throne of grace. And that's the privilege we get to use the term our Father. But then we get to the heart of this beautiful phrase, our Father in heaven. There are many addresses we can call out to God. We can use His name, like Jehovah provides. We can use a description like the Lord is our shepherd and cry out to the great shepherd. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe using Yahweh is provide some magical access to God, because it's His covenant name, and it's a name that we should really dearly love. But here our Lord teaches us to pray our Father. It's a sweet relational name. And when I was talking to a Jehovah's Witness, he said, the name Jehovah's gives us access to God, and we get to know who God is. Like if I have a friend named Chris and I don't know Chris and I don't use Chris's name, we won't be friends very long. But then I was thinking about that and I said, how many 3-year-olds know their father's name? How many 6-year-olds know their father's name? And as a father, although my sons did not know my name, I felt their love when they said, Daddy, Father. This phrase, our Father, is so intimate. Perhaps even more intimate than the name Jehovah or Yahweh. That's perhaps why Jesus used it so often in the book of John. He is our Father. This name recalls to our mind our childlike dependence upon Him. The Scriptures often remind us that we are not much at all. Psalm 23 likens us to sheep, the defenseless animal, who when they get toppled over, they need something else to come over and pick them up and put them on their own legs. We are considered vessels in the hands of God. When we go to God in prayer, do we recognize our frailty and our weaknesses? We are mere children in God's sight. We are dependent and needy children. But that does not diminish our relationship with God. He values that. He values when we come to like mere children. In the Old Testament, when God calls people to Himself, He calls everyone. He calls mothers and fathers, and He even calls the suckling infants, the babies, into His midst. And that's the picture that we have. It's the same picture of Jesus when the disciples stop those little children coming to Him. He says, don't stop them. And it says He took them in His arms and He blessed them. Our God, our Father, wants us and welcomes us as children. Do you come to Him with a childlike faith? This phrase, "Our Father," helps us to remember that we need to trust Him. Our prayers show that we cannot do all things on our own. We request things from God that are outside of our control. Do you pray with this childlike trust? If we read Matthew chapter 6, 25 and following, you see a place where Jesus says, "Do not be anxious for the basic things of life. Don't worry about what tomorrow will bring. Your Father knows what's going to happen, and you can trust in Him." So often in our Christian church, we get so wrapped up with what's going to happen at work, get worried about how our boss is going to react, but we do not trust our Father who is in heaven, who has all these things in His control. Perhaps you don't like the results of something. You do your best, and you don't like the outcome. Do you trust the outcome with your God? So often we study hard for a test and we get maybe a B or a B plus, and we're so discouraged with ourselves, but we forget to say, God had this in His hand. God knows what we need. Isn't that what Jesus says before He even introduces us? He says, "Don't be like those Gentiles who say many words, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." What a loving Father that is. He knows you. He knows how many hairs are on your head, and He knows what you need. Do you trust Him in that? Do you reflect upon His goodness and rely upon Him? Perhaps you are starting a new job or going to a place where there's a lot of uncertainty. Your Father knows exactly that situation you're going to find yourself in, and He is watching over you and caring for you. He is our Father who we approach. Yes, He's in heaven, but He is approachable. And He is our Father that we must go to Him with childlike trust. But when we pray our Father who is in heaven, we don't just leave things there at His throne room. When we take the idea that He is our Father, we are to be like our daddy. Matthew chapter 6 says we are to be like our Father. Be holy like our Father is holy. When we take the title as His children, we are to strive to live a life that glorifies Him. We are to evaluate our life. We are to see if there's any wicked or sinful ways that are not trusting in Him, and we are to repent of those and leave Him at His feet. Do you strive to glorify God in this world? Perhaps you're retired and you don't have the day-to-day grind you used to have, but you're called to use your days to glorify your Father who is in heaven. You have a little extra time. Perhaps you can spend those moments in prayer for the local congregation. Perhaps you can put your time at work for His kingdom. Just because we have lived in many days and have worked many hard hours, you are called to be glorifying your Father who is in heaven, even this coming week. Perhaps you are younger and you are still looking for your path of life. You don't know which career you're going to take. You are called to glorify your Father who is in heaven. Are you using your moments to reflect upon His goodness? Are you using your days to speak to others of how good God has been to you? You are serving your Father who is in heaven. Use the days He has given you to glorify Him. And for all of us, we've been given this wonderful privilege to go before our Father who is in heaven. And we can make a difference in this world if we pray to Him. How often do we neglect this wonderful treasure? We end up feeling too busy and we go about this life and we just say, I need to spend more time doing this and that, getting that accomplished. And we forget that praying is an essential part of us living a godly life. It takes our mind off of these things on this earth. It takes us up into heaven, essentially, and putting our prayers before Him. Use this week to talk to your Father who is in heaven. Before I close, I would say that I know many of us get frustrated with our prayer life because we start praying and our mind starts to wander. And we feel like we're not worthy to talk to God because we neglect Him as our mind wanders. Don't let this be a stumbling block for you. He is a Father. He understands we are a needy people. He's willing to forgive us. And when we go off path, we can come back and we can restart again. There are some people who find writing in journals their prayers to keep a focus not only in your mind, but also in your hands and your eyes. And that helps you keep your focus on your prayers. Martin Luther says he prayed out loud because it not only wards off the devil, but it keeps his mind focused. Sometimes we feel kind of weird praying out loud in a room just by ourselves. But remember, your Father is there, and He's listening. I heard stories about if you ever go to South Korea and you walk around the woods, you'll hear people in the woods just crying out to their Lord in prayers. And you hear multiple prayers coming from the woods because Christians go out there and commune with their Father out loud. Perhaps you should pray that way. Melanchthon says he walked by the room of Martin Luther. And he heard Martin Luther pray and he said, the conversation in that room was so sweet. It was so tender because you heard Martin Luther praying with his God. I pray that each one of us have that relationship, that prayer life with our Father, where we can pray and we can trust Him. This week, don't go a moment without knowing that your Father is in control of your life. He is a wonderful God, and it is a privilege to trust in Him. Let us go to Him in prayer. Our Father, You are truly in heaven. You know every concern and thought on our mind. Lord, we thank You for the blood of Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, that You wash away all our wickedness, every sinful thought that we have, every vain word that we have spoken, every wicked desire that we have in our hearts, you have washed those away in your blood. I pray, God, that we, your people, will walk throughout this week trusting you, knowing that you are a God who hears our prayers. And Lord, you desire for us to commune with you. And I pray, God, that we will take advantage of this wonderful privilege of talking to you, our sweet Father, who is in heaven. We pray this in your holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.